Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get, to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a Jay versus Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and, of course, a live performance of Through the Gryffindor. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.
Everybody, hello, whoa. Let's try that again. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Some would say that I'm the real host, but it's in flux, you know.
I think that people tend to think of you as the one true guest.
I don't think that's how people think of it.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, it goes back to the original argument where it's like, is it better to be Jennifer Aniston or Jimmy Kimmel? You know, like, because one is a guest on the other, you know?
And one is a guest on the other. Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah.
You get to, you're the famous person who I'm interviewing.
I'm the famous person. What else am I doing though?
Super Carlin Brothers.
But you're doing that too.
Yeah. But you have more views than me.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if that's true.
Categorically.
Don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
But we're doing it together.
No, we are. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I feel very good about it.
Yeah, like,
to be clear, I'm not perturbed. I'm not bothered by that.
Yeah,
but more eyes have seen you than me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, I mean, therefore, you are guest because you are famous.
Or because if you want to, you know, change your vote on Patreon, you can always do that.
Yeah. Well, so just get over there. I mean,
sign up for the Jazzy J tier and boom, bop, bam. New host.
So you'd rather be a late night host than be like the subject of greater public interest?
I mean, I would say that like Jimmy Fallon is also a movie star, you know?
Well, yeah.
And was a cast member on SNL. And like people will always remember like Johnny Carson and Jay Leno, you know?
Yeah.
Like these people are legends in their own right, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. I wasn't trying to say I had no accolades. I mean, yeah, I was just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. Thanks. Yeah. Good hosting.
Oh, thank you. That's what I'm here for. Make sure everybody feels comfortable and happy and that we're having ourselves a good old-fashioned time. Yep. In case you are unaware, the hostmanship is dictated by our various Patreon tiers, where Jay and I have equal and utterly opposite available tiers over on the Patreon page, where you can sign up and support at the Jazzy J tiers or the Buzzy B tiers. Probably want to do those. We also have the host neither tiers, which has happened.
It has
once
happened.
Upon a time. Someone out there in the world basically went through, created multiple accounts, and signed up at our highest possible tier multiple times so that they could issue like 15 seconds of just pure silence at the beginning of the episode.
If host neither is chosen, there will be a 15-second silence at the beginning of the episode.
My favorite part about doing that is that I love the fact that we are actually allowing for like an amount of search engine optimization like loss on behalf of just like those who breathe chaos in the world. You know, because like, and anybody could turn on that episode, get to the end of the intro music and be like, oh, they must have uploaded like blank audio.
Blank audio.
You know, it's like, will people sustain for 15 seconds to wait and see.
In the event that enough people sign up to force host neither, then I think we have such a strong community of little kernels that we can afford to lose such things.
Well, I think there's something to that. Then it's like, then you're part of the club. It's like knowing, it's like going to a restaurant that requires like a secret password.
Yeah, like a speakeasy.
One thing I have always wanted to do is to install like a vending machine somewhere in like downtown Roanoke, and it's like a secret door.
Right.
But you go in and you like place like a quarter in the machine and you select like the Mountain Dew Baja Blast button, and then it like opens the door, and we will serve Baja Blast upstairs for the low cost of another quarter.
Right.
You know, so like your quarter doesn't actually get you the Baja Blast, but we do sell it.
I think it would be great is that like if you don't know that it's like a secret machine, like it just functions as a regular vending machine.
Oh.
Right. Like people come up and use it all the time, but some people
know.
They know.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. So it's like people might say, hey, you're doing a terrible job because there's no sign. It's not obvious where you are. And it's like, ho, 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 therein lies the fun.
There doesn't lie the fun.
Yeah.
People, you gotta know how to get in.
They want to go and talk about it with their friends. They like to be on the inside, and therefore all the hosts and either people are on the inside.
Right.
Why am I pitching so hard for this?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, you know, but I'm for it, you know. Yeah. Go ahead.
You host neither. Maybe we can change it to the vending machine option.
The vending machine option. And I vote for the vending machine.
The vending machine popcorn.
No one gets vending machine popcorn.
No, they don't, because what they really want is the speakeasy inside.
That's right. It looks like you're getting vending machine popcorn, but what you're getting is entrance into the club.
That's exactly right. Right. Yeah. And then when you enter the club, and like it's kind of funny because they call it a speakeasy, and what we do here on the show is speak easy. We are the way in which we speak is easy.
It's easy speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. I like it. Well, anyway, if you want to go support the vending machine, wink, head on over to the Patreon.
What was the wink for?
That it's not really a vending machine.
Oh, okay. I thought what you were doing was like a little bit like the vending machine, wink, Jazzy J. And I was like, what? No. We just had a whole fun idea.
Yeah. No, I would never do that. Wink.
Stop winking. It's funny because you have to audibly wink.
I know, yeah, in case people aren't watching. Even if they are, it'd be pretty hard to tell.
It'd be pretty hard to tell, yeah. Unless Isabel super zoomed on your face for that, like, wink.
Well, now you know she's going to have to go back and do it. Yeah, we're giving chores to Isabel the editor.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. That's okay. I'm sure she'll think it's fun.
She will. She'll think it's fun.
Okay, here's a question for you. I think that we had a very good discussion on our last tour about the concept of yes and.
Yes, and.
Yeah, so the rule of improv is that, like, that is what you are supposed to say. So, like, no matter what prompt the person that you're improving with delivers you, you yes and them.
Right.
So it's like, hey, we're in an ice cream shop now. Then you don't be like, but the ice cream shop is actually...
Right, yeah, you wouldn't be like, it's an ice cream shop, but really it's a bar.
Right. It's like, okay, an ice cream shop, but it's really a bar, but it's actually a place that sells tires.
Yeah.
And it's like, see, we're not getting anywhere.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
yeah, don't correct the other person. Just like, they gave you a piece to work with, then you build on it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And what I think is interesting about it is that, like, it's like injecting this improv philosophy, not into the game of improv or even the skill of improv, I think is, I mean, it's very, very, very similar to like what's happening in like the Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man, where he basically, I think he like goes to like a, it's almost like a cult-ish.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like some type of super influential
motivational speaker. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you can change your world if you simply say yes to everything.
Right.
And I don't think that that's necessarily the philosophy, but I do think that you would be surprised at how much more excited you can get about something that you wouldn't typically be excited about if you embrace the yes and philosophy.
Right.
And I also think it's a great way to like breed inside jokes, because it means like no matter what the person said, it's a good setup for a joke.
It's a good setup.
Let's take it and run with it, because whatever comes next and then next after that next is going to be even better.
It's going to be good.
So, yes. So go out into the world and yes and.
And yes and yourself into some fun situations. Just yes and any conversation you're having.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And I think it might sound ridiculous and you might find yourself wanting to say the words yes and you don't need to say the
you don't actually have to say it.
You can say anything, just right. Like, you know, it's effectively just like being up for,
right, like just sort of like agree to what they were saying. If it helps you to say it out loud, you can just do it too. You know,
yeah,
people aren't going to be like, hey, are you yes-anding?
Are you yes-anding me? And then if anything, they're going to be like, oh, you are yes-anding me.
Because what are they going to be complaining about? That you agreed?
Right, I know. And then if they get upset, then they're not yes-anding.
Then they're not yes-anding.
Now they have the shame.
Shame. Fool me twice. Shame back on you.
This is one of our favorite stand-up bits that Ethan did from memory in the tour van while we were out. But it's like the, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Shame on you.
Right.
Fool me three times, shame back on me. Yeah. Fool me four times. And it's like,
it just goes on to like, fool me eight, fool me nine. And it's just Australian guy doing the bit, which makes it so much better.
Shame on society.
Shame on society.
I mean, you know, that's like, some shame is okay, but at some point you got to step in.
Yeah.
And then it's like, fool me five times. And it's like, hey, you got to stand up for yourself, man.
Yeah, shame on me.
Fool me six times. I've lured you into my trap. Fool me seven times. No shame, because I've been fooled by the master.
Exactly.
You saw through my trick.
It's so good.
This is one of those moments. This was us in high school to the letter T. Was you and I would have these like inside jokes or like Dane Cook bits that we loved.
Yeah.
Or we really liked like Bill Engvall, who was like
one of the blue collar comedians, like with Jeff Foxworthy and
And I would say out of that group, Bill Engvall was my favorite.
I would agree.
The one I always thought had like the sense of humor I jived with the most.
Yeah.
But I feel like we would be standing outside of the movie theater in a circle with all the people we just saw the movies with, and you and I would get like on a tear doing one of these like quoting things, and everybody's like half looking at us, half laughing, half confused, half needing context, but we thought it was hilarious.
And, we did, because it was.
Because it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, so anyway, yes and then also just have inside jokes with your best friends /siblings.
I think if you watch the TV show Bluey, what you'll notice is that the way they're parenting is yes anding.
Yeah, right. Like they'll go up to Bandit and say something, you know, like, can we play roller coasters? And Bandit will be like,
we're like, not roller coasters. This episode of Blue is called Roller Coasters. And then they're playing.
And then they're playing. Oh, no. Yeah. Why am I doing like a very British accent instead of Australian?
Yeah, you were just doing Australian.
I know. I had it. I had it.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Shame's back on me. The Australian listeners are like, you're doing neither. You're doing neither.
You just sound dumb.
Anyway, so that's that.
So that's that. Okay, Ben. Can I try and coin a phrase?
Is it yes and?
It's not yes and. Okay. That I think has been officially coined by the entire improv like world.
Society. you can try to coin a phrase. I'm very curious to hear what it is.
Okay. I am predicting the come about of this genre/phrase.
Okay. Here we go. It's happening now real time.
So we can talk about this too, but you recently watched K-pop Demon Hunters.
I did.
You did.
I did indeed.
So you are up on the hype, you understand now.
Well, I've been indoctrinated.
Indoctrinated,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, and can I give my feedback?
Fire away.
So I was surprised with K-pop Demon Hunter because I do think it was exceptionally good.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It's really cool looking, you know, like it's a kind of animation that I guess it's also by Sony. But it reminded me not directly to, but adjacent to, like, the
Spider-Man.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The Spider-Man movies with Miles Morales. And I was like, it's really cool looking. It's kind of got like a choppiness. It's got the very anime, like, facial reactions.
Yeah.
Everything's a little bit over the top sometimes. The music is incredible. I literally listened to the album 2 times over on Spotify while I was pressure washing my driveway the other day. And there were like a couple of times where I was like, was I just like dancing in public and not realizing it? And
that's,
like,
that's the beauty.
That's the beauty of
it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was rather glorious. I thought that the story was like a little bit thinner than maybe I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to admit that I believe there's a all too real chance that another pass would change my perspective. And I'd be like, okay, I was missing a lot more of the like deeper, more specific moments. Cause I will even say, like, I loved Encanto the first time I watched Encanto, but I actually loved it even more the second, third, fourth, fifth, and 10th times
right.
I watched it, because I was like, there's so much going on here. Like, it's all so good.
It's all so good.
But I think I was expecting like a little bit more backstory on not just like Rumi, but like the other two characters, whose names I just can't remember.
Mira and Zoe.
Yeah. Yes. I thought we would get more of their, like, you know, what they were dealing with as well, which maybe is just coming in K-Pop Demon Hunter 2.
Just coming out in 2029.
It's a little far away.
A little far away, but here I was like, God, they are waiting a long time to make that. And I'm like, they're not waiting a long time. It's like, if you've seen the Spider-Man movies, it's like, you know, but it's honestly, it's like, it sucks that you have to wait, but it's like, you know, the reason it's going to take so long is because they're like, we're going to do it right.
Yeah. I mean, and there, yes, I agree. I mean, I think that it's just one of those things. And realistically, we probably get spoiled a lot of times from seasons of TV shows that come out, you know, like year after year after year, where it's like, hey, it's a new year, so we get a new season of Gilded Age or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is another show I really love. But I was going to say, like, even if you were to go back to like the original Frozen movies, like Frozen, the original, and Frozen 2, like, they were spaced out by like what, like 5 or 6 years or something. And like, you know, I'm sure when Frozen came out, if they told you that there's gonna be a new one in 6 years, it'd be like, oh my gosh, 2019, like, that's forever away.
Right.
But then, you know, you get there and then it's all in the rearview mirror and we have it. So
then we have it.
Some things are worth waiting for.
Exactly. I suspect this shall be one of those things.
That's right. So anyway, I quite liked K-Pop Demon Hunter. I absolutely loved the music. I felt like I felt like maybe it didn't quite, it was faced with the challenge of the hype being so enormous.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was expecting it to like maybe like tear me in half emotionally, and it didn't do that.
Well, that's fair. I suspect you haven't seen it for the last time.
Oh, facts. Yes.
And that I bet that now that like you've gotten over the like what the expectations were and you can just watch it like for yourself,
right?
Like it, yeah. You'll marinate on it.
I bet that's true.
Yeah,
it's true. My curiosity, if I did this to anybody with the movie Klaus, which I only bring up because it's one of my other favorite animated movies. It's also a Netflix movie, yep. And we are officially in November, so we can start talking about the holidays.
Start doing that.
And if you haven't watched Klaus yet, in my personal
opinion,
what are
you doing?
I think it's like the best Christmas movie. It's got like the most original story to it, but I also know that on the pop back when we started it, I hyped it extremely hard, and I wonder if anybody went out and watched it and they were sort of like, yeah, I'm
sure about that.
Yeah.
Sure about that.
It was good.
Like, I mean, if by good you mean great. Okay.
If by good you mean great.
If by good you mean it's the Emperor's New Groove but Christmas.
Right, exactly. We love that. Yeah. It's got a great cast. Everything's amazing. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say about it is that mm-hmm. it does have some of that like kind of creepy animation style sometimes.
Sometimes.
Especially in like the more early side of it. But as it gets going and starts to become like more colorful and bright, it's just so heartwarming and wonderful. Anyway, you have a phrase you want to coin. I have basically been droning on just to tease people.
No. It's all good. We need to establish the K-pop-iness of it, of all of it, because it's related.
Oh, it's related. Okay, so
it's related.
Okay.
Okay. So, what happened over the weekend? Me and Beth were sitting out on the deck, just like having a glass of wine, and the kids came out and they wanted us to play some K-pop Demon Hunter music.
Nice.
And we were like, obviously, let's go.
Of course.
And then what started happening was they're listening to it, but then they all started like dancing to it, but like in a way that was Like, they've clearly watched it enough to, like, absorb some of the choreography, or at least, like, the flavor of the dancing.
Yeah.
You know?
We were at Mom and Dad's last night for Dad's 65th birthday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
While we were there, we turned on some of the music, and I was all three boys, I was very impressed with their moves, but I thought, like, Nick in particular, mm-hmm. I was like, kid's got, like
he's feeling the rhythm.
He's not just feeling the rhythm. He's got like the facial expression. He's got like the attitude. He's got like the intention behind it. I'm like, man, dude.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, he has that, he really like dialed in and embraced the, like, every, like dance move sort of like ends in like a pose or something.
Right.
A little bit. Like, he's like listening to the words. He's sort of singing along with it. Anyway, we played almost the entire soundtrack, and the kids did not stop dancing the entire time in this, like, very, like, trying to emulate the characters on screen's way of dancing.
And you know what it reminded me of was, like, growing up in the age of, like, boy bands.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember being in our living room and, like, watching, you know, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or whatever on the TV. And it felt like they did lots of, like, foot crossy type of moves.
Yeah.
And I feel like I always wanted to, like do the foot cross back and forth and, like, look cool doing it. But once I did the foot cross, I had nothing left.
Had nothing else.
It's like, I don't know how to, like, transition into, like, anything else.
Where do I go from here?
From here. Yeah. But anyway, watching them dance, I was like, I remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was all that. It was all very good. So anyway, there have been, like, you know, American boy bands, girl bands, stuff like that, where it's just more about, like, the dancing and the singing and not necessarily, like, instruments or anything.
Sure.
Right. So right now, though, there is, like, we've got K-pop as this, like, giant, huge, like, almost global phenomenon.
Yep.
You know, like, it was all, like, whether or not you knew about it, is already massively popular before this movie came out.
I mean,
like,
yeah, I mean, I remember going back on the Instagram days and, like a lot of times we would do fun antics in office or whatever, and I would go to, like, tag hashtag BTS.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, for behind the scenes. And I think BTS must be, like, a major, like,
yes,
K-pop
it is.
Band.
It is.
Because half the time it's like, oh, if I check this hashtag, it's just like,
yeah. Insanely popular.
Yeah.
And with the advent of this movie, it has been a gateway into tons of American, like, kids, especially, like, getting into it.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I have a feeling. This is my guess. That there's K-pop, there's, like, J-pop or whatever. What I am predicting is the advent of A-pop.
Oh.
Okay. Now, I know what you're going to say. What do you mean? Like, American pop? Isn't that just regular pop music? Isn't that, like, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, like, NSYNC, stuff like that? And it's like, yes, but no.
Yes, but no.
That's not even what I mean. I don't mean American pop, like, as opposed to Korean pop, which is what the K stands for, if you didn't know. But I think you probably did.
Right. Sure. And J is J-pop, Japan.
Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I mean is that, like, I feel like it's, like, it's almost like a little bit like sushi in a way, where it's like you have these, like, the advent of these sorts of, I don't know the history of K-pop, so I'm not going to try and get, like, too, like, I don't know how far back in history it goes or anything.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Like, if you want to, like, to me, like, what really made boy bands and stuff popular were, like, in the 90s in America.
That is what I would have said, too. Yeah. I mean, exactly the era that we grew up in, where we were watching, you know, I mean, there was Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, like,
right.
You know, just all these kind of.
Right.
Yeah. They were, like, groups of, like, ensemble bands.
Yeah, ensemble bands. They were really popular. They kind of went away. But now, in Korea, giant super popular.
Yep.
Bleeding out worldwide.
Yep.
So what I'm thinking is going to happen is that we're going to have the return of such things in A-pop, where it is going to be not American pop, but alpha pop, which will be Gen A, those kids growing up listening to this music and, like, turning that into their own thing. Like, in more English, like, in, like, America, but specifically inspired by K-pop music.
So it's like a fusion.
It's like a fusion kind of thing.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It'll put the A in front of it as, like, that's the fusion point. But it'll be similar to, it'll be, like, yeah, like, fusion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is what I think is going to happen. A-pop music.
I could totally see where something like this would have a very strong foothold as well, because, like, you know, in other genres of music that are popular, I mean, well, K-pop and J-pop and stuff are super popular here as well, but like, I guess from like American or North American musicians, I guess they're, it's not like uncommon for there to be like diss tracks, you know, which I know is a thing that specifically comes up in K-pop Demon Hunter,
yeah,
where
right.
It's like the takedown song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of times what you end up with is, especially in like the like rap genre, it seems like there's like sort of like diss tracks where like two rival musicians are sort of like taking like little stabs at each other, and you kind of see stuff like that. Or I think even just as recently as Taylor Swift's new album, there's like the romantic song.
Oh yeah.
Which I think, I don't know enough about the lore to know how true this is, but I think it's about Charlie XCX.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, she also has a song that is like something romantic,
right?
And so that's like sort of like them kind of trading punches and stuff. But like, to use the phrase trading punches is almost exactly what I'm meaning to go for, because in major boxing arenas and like, you know, mixed martial arts and stuff like that, anything that's going to have like a pay-per-view marquee, you know, showdown type situation, the trash talk or like the trading of like other punches not inside of the ring is a huge part of the spectacle.
Yes.
You know, it's like, he insulted my mom, you know, and it's like, what? No.
Right.
Or, you know, like, I don't know. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think of like the lowest hanging fruit there, but, you know, it's like there's all this hype that goes into making it seem like these two people, by the time the bell rings in the middle of the ring, like there is like nothing but, you know, God's will holding these two back from fighting each other.
Right.
You know, and all of that, I think, culminates into the spectacle that is like the showmanship of the situation. But then a lot of times I also know that the better you are as like an athlete, or the better you are as a musician or a professional, or any of those types of things, there's a much greater sense of like game respects game. Like if you're really good, you know how hard it was to become good. There's no way in the world these guys actually disrespect each other on some type of like deep, intentional, personal level. Maybe there are instances where
sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it is for the known spectacle of the event. But what I think could be really interesting if something like this were to come about would almost be like a maybe less hostile kind of like, you know, trading of blows. Like everyone involved knows that they all benefit from the hype associated with the back and forth.
Right.
You know, and it kind of makes her like, a game, it makes for a dialogue, it makes for a story, you know, it's like, it's not just a song anymore. It's a song about them.
Right.
You know, and this is how they clapped back or whatever, you know, and it all makes for a saga, but it's a real rising tides lifts all ships situation.
Sure.
Like you engage in it because of the fun.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't actually have to be hostile.
Right.
And I could see a world where something like that, especially in America, could be like a nice way to create conflict that is like by design, not as intense as it seems.
Oh, if you like in terms of like between the forthcoming A-pop bands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like part of it is almost like you need to bud off into rivalries. Like, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think like, you know, if the the Vikings play the Bears, you
yeah.
know, it's like known rivalry.
Yeah.
Like for us, if Virginia Tech plays the University of Virginia, UVA, like known rivalry.
Yeah.
Like these are teams that like they both benefit from the fact that they're in-state rivals, you know, or whatever. So it's like people, there's hype about it. You know, the idea of beating your in-state rival means chances are you get to, as fans, you get to wave your flag a little higher when you pass your neighbor walking your dog, you know, and it's like, ha ha.
Boom.
We were victorious.
That's right.
You know, but
you like, supported the wrong side.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But as we always say with sports, you know, it's like they're like the most important, unimportant thing.
Right.
You know, so it's like the great thing about these kinds of rivalries is that they don't actually matter. They don't actually represent true blue, meaningful conflict. It's just fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
that's what you want to see in the world of American music.
That's where I could almost see like there being like out in the real world, the opportunity for like Avengers level meetup type events almost, where like imagine, you know, it's the Academy Awards and two rival bands are both like on stage at the same time.
Oh yeah.
You know? And it's like, that becomes really fun because you know the narrative, but they don't actually want to kill each other.
Right, right. You know? Yeah.
Like, but it's cool to watch it like unfold. It's the type of thing where even, you know, it's like you could have a live poll voting while the thing is going on, like who won, you know?
Right.
And it's like, but it ends up being a performance that they're ultimately really doing
right
together.
Why would you think it would be different with that kind of music versus like, why couldn't that just happen right now?
Well, it's a good question. And I think some of it comes with the tone of the music. Like I tend to think that some of the other genres are speaking about things that are like very much like real, like the problems that they might be like singing about are like real problems.
Right.
Maybe some things are just petty rivalries between two people who liked the same girl or boy or whatever, you know, and it's like those maybe are less meaningful on the whole, but like something like this, especially if it's targeted towards that like classic boy band era, late elementary school, middle school, especially early high school aged people,
mm-hmm.
Then that kind of music can be light, fun, upbeat, catchy, like all the things that pop music tends to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it's almost like you put like a PG-13 filter on it.
Okay.
Like it's never going to become so violent in nature that like you and I'm even thinking a little bit of like professional wrestling, you know, like
oh yeah, like, that's all showmanship.
It's all showmanship. Yeah. Right. It's like, you know, like but you can have situations where the other people unexpectedly burst in the door and it's like, no way.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And come running in, they kick someone's head.
Right.
Apparently.
Oh yeah. Well, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, does any of that make sense? I mean, is that not at least like a little bit like what's going on? Like you have like lots of like groups of, like people, like the bands tend to be like 3 to 4 people, right?
I think so.
By normal size mm-hmm. standards.
Right. Yeah.
So like, you know, if you have like a bunch of those popping up everywhere, like, I mean, it would almost be like if you had the Backstreet Boys battle the NSYNC, like,
right.
I mean, and that's exactly what it would be.
Right.
Like, it's just sort of like, let them go, but it's more like a stomp the yard, let them go. It's
right,
like
more
perfect,
like in person, like, less like what is it, Total Request Live, where it's like, which one's going to be on top this week?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. That's in K-pop Demon Hunter.
What? No, that was like MTV.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What was it where like the Saja boys were competing with?
Oh yeah, like the Idol Awards or something.
That's what it is. Yeah. It seems like that was happening weekly too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean that would be very cool. But I feel like it's hitting such a wide audience right now, and there's like such a capability. It's like there's no doubt in my mind that there is a group of like 4, you know, guys or girls, teenagers who are like 16, 17, and like are capable of doing the like choreographing stuff together and singing and putting it on like TikTok or Reels or something and like making a splash in a real way, like right now, like the iron is hot, you know?
Right. Yes.
Like it can happen in like the next year or two. It can begin, you know? And I feel like it feels like the pump is primed, you know, like there it's there for the right group of people.
Yeah.
Who are able to strike. You know,
well, and I suppose on some level, what I really like about this prospect that you're suggesting is that like, you know, even like when I think back to a lot of, you know, the like the early boy bands that like we would have listened to, my first ever CD was a Backstreet Boys CD.
Yeah.
But like even that felt like it became like a big like almost like masculinity question, you know, by the time I was like in like sixth grade.
Right.
You know, like I think I started listening to it in like third grade and it was like, no big deal. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. Like everybody likes Backstreet Boys. And then it just, you give it like just a couple of years and it became stale. And then, you know, people had to have opinions on it. And it was just sort of like, ah, now what is it? You know? And it's like, oh geez. And like, what I loved was fast forward to the year, like 2012 or something around like when I'm graduating college. And it was almost like people just like let all that go and they were just having fun with it again.
Right.
So if you went to like a college party and they started playing, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think what's the name of NSYNC song?
Bye Bye Bye.
Yes. So you go to a college party and they play Bye Bye Bye. Everyone's singing it.
Everyone knows
Everyone's it. Everyone's just having fun. It's nostalgic. It's exciting. It's like whatever. It's like, you know, we all let go of all the rest of everything else. And now it's just like, let's just enjoy it.
Let's just enjoy it.
And then even fast forward again, you're like Deadpool 3 comes out. And is that the song?
That's the song he's singing at the beginning. Yeah. Right,
when he's like fighting
with the Wolverine's like body parts.
Yeah. Tasteful.
You guys seen Deadpool versus Wolverine? It was great.
It's great.
It was great. I think that is one of the things I really liked about the movie K-Pop Demon Hunters is the way they portray the boy band in the movie as like they're not like it would be like very masculine to like be in the band.
Oh, sure. You know? Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the guard that people maybe are starting to, I would like to think are starting to like let down where this kind of thing doesn't like, you know, your affiliate, like I don't see it nearly as often. I don't think where affiliation with a specific interest comes with some like range of judgments. Like I think at this point in time, people kind of have seen like the internet create enough niche groups and breakoffs and like whatever to where it's like, you know, if you have friends who play D&D, it's not like you're like, wow, nerdy much.
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know, it's just sort of like, oh yeah, I've seen Stranger Things. Like,
right, yes.
You know, like people have found ways to bring things like this to the surface that just makes it that much more, one, it makes the activity itself that much more inviting. And two, I think it just lowers all inhibitions attached to it. And people just are having fun.
Agreed.
And nobody seems to be having like quite the same gripe.
Yeah.
That or I've just fine-tuned the people who I surround myself enough that I just don't witness that kind of feedback and reaction.
Well, it's just sort of like it felt like when we were younger, like that sort of feedback held like a lot of weight behind it. Whereas like if I was talking to someone and they were just like, ugh, what? Dungeons and Dragons? Ugh, lame. It'd be like, okay, you're a big red flag.
Exactly that. Yeah. It's like I am 100% sure that you're the problem, not me.
I know,
like,
right.
And you're not gonna get very far with that take. So
right, exactly.
I'm like, go have fun.
I'm gonna let you go ahead and watch the watch the world react around you. Okay.
Right.
You're a little,
right.
Yeah.
But so
the good will out and so will the bad.
Right. Right. But like, you know, people think of like, you know, the 1900s or whatever, and they talk about like the roaring 20s and, you know, like just the time it was to be alive. And part of me almost believed that we were going to go into a kind of version of our roaring 20s like ourselves. Like it almost felt like a cyclical, like it took us a century, but we're like back to it. And so far the 20s have not quite felt so roaring in the capacity that I expected.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like there's a possibility that like pendulums can swing in a variety of different directions. And we see it happen, whether it's, you know, like politically or elsewhere, you know, or like where our attention goes or like what's prominent, what's not prominent, what's in, what's out, those types of things. Like there's almost a part of me that thinks like, if the world takes itself too seriously for too long, then the pendulum has to swing to a world where it doesn't take itself so seriously, at least for a minute.
Right.
And that's why I almost feel like the cross section is like the perfect moment for what you're describing. It's almost like the recipe is there. Like, I think people want to have fun. I think people are tired of having exhausting conversations. I think people are like, let's just go and celebrate.
Right.
Like, you know, like, let's stop hating everyone. And like, let's just make it work.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, what you're describing and even just the ability for, you know, for certain types of like new terms. Like when we were growing up, I feel like people saying like, oh, it's so on fleek. You know, it's like it was a phrase. It was like whatever. And certain things reach mainstream. But like a lot of times it feels like these things are almost born of like what Gen Alpha will be not before too long. They will be the trendsetters in short term.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're almost up.
They're coming.
Yeah. You know, Gen Z is going to have to, you know, put on their helmets and ready themselves for the unique perspective that is going from the young generation to the next generation.
I know.
And be like, uh-oh. Yeah. All those things that we said, we're about to be that. Oh, no.
I know. Don't you turn around, Gen Z, and be like, what, 6'7"? That's so dumb. Like, don't do that.
Oh, but it's okay because it will happen in Gen Alpha too.
6'7"'s on fleek, man. You know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You do love 6'7". I will say that.
Everyone likes 6'7". People are coming around. People are coming around 6'7". 6'7" is fun.
I think 6'7" is one of those things you go from not understanding it to kind of being in.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
I think so.
And then once you're in, it's kind of like, well, now I'm in the club. It's exactly.
I knew
like,
the buttons of the vending machine.
It's exactly. Yes. Yeah. I was gonna say it's vending machine popcorn all over again.
Right. And it's just 6'7". Those are the numbers.
That's it. Yeah, we just have like a 0 through 9 on the vending machine, and to get in, you press 6'7".
That's it.
People are like, no, it can't be that easy.
It can't be.
And it's like it is. The hard part was knowing it was there.
The hard part was embracing it. You know, could you bring yourself to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
It reminds me of the movie Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, where I'm saying this as if people haven't all seen it, but basically like this French driver comes in, I'm pretty sure from Formula One to NASCAR, and just immediately he's like better than everyone, and he is making Ricky Bobby say that he likes crepes. Because that's like, and it's like, I won't do it.
Yeah.
These colors don't run. Yeah. And then they're like talking about crepes. Like, what even are crepes? It's like, those are like the really thin pancakes. It's like, would it be okay if I just said I really like really thin pancakes? And it's like, yeah. I mean, okay.
Yeah. Oh man, that movie is great.
I mean, I made a real reach to get to the crepes comparison to 6'7". Yeah.
That's okay.
You know, but
yeah,
that's that.
Right. Would it be? Yes, that's okay. Don't hate on the 6'7", you guys. Try it out, you know? Try it out.
Give it a whirly pop.
Give it a whirl. You're gonna have fun with it. You know?
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Well, what do we call it? A-pop?
Yeah, A-pop. It's coming.
It's coming to
us. You heard it here first.
Can you imagine if the podcast that has a bingo square for the guys suck at music literally predicted the up and coming?
If we named A-pop music.
Oh man.
A-pop pop.
Yeah. Hey, look at this.
We're not that far off, right?
Right. Maybe then we can finally show up on Cape Spring High School's notable alumni.
That's it.
Column.
We coined the phrase A-pop right here. In 2025. Can I give you a great bring it all together story real quick?
Bring it all together.
All right. Okay. So over the weekend, me and Beth brought the boys to Twisted Tracks here in Roanoke.
Okay. Good. Great brewery.
Great brewery. Good food. Good vibes if you're coming to Roanoke.
Get the fried green beans.
Get the fried green beans. Get anything. Actually, all of it's good.
The food is all very good.
The food's good. The only thing I sometimes don't like about Twisted Track is that if they have a band, they got that music up. And it's loud.
It's quite loud.
Even if you're sitting not near the band, because it puts speakers everywhere. And it's like, I get it, but like, that's not why I came here, you know? I don't mind if you got music up there playing. Like, please do. But like, I didn't come here to see the music, you know?
Right. Yeah, gotcha. Right.
Anyway, we got there and there was no band on this particular time of day. Okay. Instead, what they had was trivia is what they were doing.
Okay.
But the kind of trivia they were doing was, we're going to play like 20 seconds of a song and then you write down the band or the artist and the song and that's it.
Okay.
You know, we're going to play 19 songs and then I'll ask you a question at the end and that'll be the 20th answer and blah, 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 blah. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, we were just sitting there. We weren't planning on going there for the trivia, but it was starting right when we got there. And we were like, well, what the heck? We'll grab a sheet, you know, see if we can do it.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. As you guys know, I'm bad at music, so I was not great at this game.
Yeah, I'm always terrible at these types of things. Yeah. It even surprises me sometimes, like even in the genre of music that I like, how often like a song will come on like my Spotify, like emo songs everyone should know. And I'm like, you know,
what a backward sentence.
I couldn't have told you that this song was by a band I didn't know the name of.
Right.
Even
yeah.
though I know all the words to
know
the
all
song.
The words. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Anyway, yeah. when I say know all the words, I probably know like the chorus.
Right. So you guys know I'm bad at music. Beth minored in music, but that means more like, you know, playing music. We were both bad at this game.
Okay.
Predictably.
Yeah.
So we're going through though, and you know, you got to come up with a team name or whatever. And we're asking the kids like, oh, what should the team name be? And they're like 6-7. And we're like, okay.
Oh, so
we were the 6-7 Carlins. That was us.
Hey, hey, good
that was
for you.
That was our team name. Our kids were no help at all.
Oh, I mean, naturally.
I mean, you know, geez. I think in total we knew like 6 for sure. Like,
but maybe
artist
7
and song. Yeah, 6, maybe 7 artist and song, and that we felt good about. Like, okay. We got these for sure. We know who it is. But we turn in our sheet and we go continuing it, and they start announcing the results or whatever. And at first, we're thinking they're just like announcing the winners, and they're going to go like, you know, third place, this, second place, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but they call it out, and we're the first people they call out, and we're like, what? We got third? No way. That can't be. And then we're like, no, it can't be. They're calling out every single team. We got last.
Oh, no.
I know. But so there you go. We're bad at music. 6-7. And also we named A-pop first.
Wow.
There you go.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so we're in what we may refer to as the end game, aka the holiday season. It can be a frantic time of year as a shopper, what with cold weather, busy parking lots, and stores full of people. But it wasn't until recently that I realized just how chaotic this season can be if you happen to be the vendor. In this case, of course, I'm speaking about our very own store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. Shopify is huge this time of year, when we are adding way more inventory than ever to the storefront to get you all loaded with just what you need in time for the holidays. And Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that help write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography to help increase your reach during the busiest time of year. So if you want to give your customers the best experience possible this holiday season, you need Shopify. This Black Friday, join the thousands of new entrepreneurs hearing for the first time with Shopify. Sign up for your free trial today at shopify.com/poppop. That's shopify.com/pop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop, and make this Black Friday one to remember. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Chewy! I remember dating all the way back to my years in college, shelling my textbooks back to the bookstore, and going from a broke college student to a college student with $213 to my name, and all at once capable of purchasing gifts for my friends and family for the holidays. I distinctly remember this experience and how it sparked the joy for gift giving and my apparent deep-seated desire to find the best gifts for loved ones and enter Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods is like a holiday cheat code, packed with tons of unique and awesome products that you've just never stumbled across before. Think murder mystery jigsaw puzzle, a candy of the world advent calendar, custom pet embroidered sweatshirts. I mean, come on! And don't sleep on the sassy storage containers. These things are adorable. These things are adorable, hilarious, and most importantly, still functional. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Don't wait. Cross the names off your list before the rush to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/poppop. That's uncommongoods.com/poppop for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Ben, I see it says here on the show notes that your pin board finally went up.
It did.
In your house.
It did indeed.
Please describe it to me in great detail.
Okay. Extensive detail. Here we go. Where to start? I don't know where I'm trying to decide how I want to go about this. I am bad at decorating certain things.
Okay.
I think that like before Alice entered the fray, I lived in my house for like 6 months and I kind of found some like very generic, like, you know, wall art from .coms and TJ Maxx and stuff like that. But like they weren't things that necessarily were like specific to us. And I find myself typically like very, very, very locked. Like it's almost like the tattoo thing where it's sort of like, if I commit to this, it's not just the expense of purchasing the thing. It's also like applying it to my wall where I'm going to look at it like every day.
Right.
And what do I want to get? And then I get very in my head and I'm sort of like, oh, this is too cliche. I can't do that because like, that's just like an in thing right now. Or, you know, like I think me and Alice used to have jokes like when we first started dating about like what we called firewood, which was like all the like encouragements, you know, like the,
oh yeah,
like, you know, live, laugh, love,
you know,
that type of thing, you know, like the pieces of art that just sort of say like some general like homey positive sentiment type situation or whatever,
right?
Which ironically I now have one that says you'll think of something very prominently displayed in my kitchen, so I've gotten there, but it's also a phrase I like to, you know, say to myself, so
yeah,
you know, it's handy when I need it.
Exactly.
But so going up my staircase, I've got one of those staircases that kind of goes like up and then it goes like, you know, a complete like, you know, turn and then goes like up the other direction. And there's a nice big blank piece of wall. And forever, I've sort of had these like grand plans for it being like a gallery wall of sorts. And I was sort of like, oh, like, you know, maybe we can like have a picture of all of like our various family members and different shaped frames and, you know, from different eras of their life. And it'll be like a, almost like a, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the word for Dia de los Muertos, like the altar.
Oh, type. The ofrenda.
The ofrenda. Thank you. You know, but like a, like something that displays like our family's history or whatever. And, you know, going to our grandparents and great grandparents and just, you know, who is everybody and final
right.
Little spots and stuff. And so we've had like these visions and ideas for like what we could do with this particular space. But in the meantime, it has been a blank wall, just a huge piece of blank wall forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that like odd spot because it's like going up our stairs and you only have like one reason to go upstairs in our house, which is to go up like to the bedrooms. And so it's not the kind of thing that you're like putting like you could go more personal with it because the only real people are going to see it who are the people who are like traveling upstairs, which are usually just the occupants of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gone back and forth and I think I ran into the same problem as you where like the really large like cork boards, especially with like a nice frame around it, are like oddly expensive.
Yeah, right.
But we had a vision actually, thanks to your like Pluto pin board.
Uh-huh,
and yeah, exactly. It was like, oh my gosh, like I love how that turned out. And every time I go to your house, I like find myself like going over and like looking at it and like looking for new pins I hadn't like noticed you had before.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like gives, a landing zone to this activity that we otherwise do like on our like annual Mecca to Disney.
Right.
Like the pin trading thing is something that like our family has fully adopted. We have a lot of fun with it. Hard stop. Like,
yes.
It's all really great. But then you run into the issue of like, but what do you put? Where do you put them?
Where do you put them?
And so you kind of came up with this really cool idea where you got like the big cork board, and then in the middle you got like a painting of Pluto, like
yeah,
a really neat like line drawing painting. And because all your pins are Pluto, it just fits very accordingly. But we have never been able to like lock in on a specific character who is like our character,
right?
That's like, you know, that's like the one that we collect or anything. We do have like specialities, like there's a lot of like Nightmare Before Christmas, mm-hmm, because Addison and Alice both love it. We've got like a lot of like Disney princesses because Addie is going slowly through each phase of her fandom of each of those characters.
Of course, of course.
Which is great, because when you start to put all the Disney princesses together, there's a just truly fantastic medley of positive and admirable characteristics that they all behold.
Right.
So it's kind of fun to like watch her like, you know, find different things that she loves in all of them, because they all have their own strengths.
Right.
So that's been really cool. But then finally what Alice had like zeroed in on was this like one image that she really wanted to like mount in the middle. That is this like, it's like an old school oil painting, and it's like a real painting that would like exist out there in the world of like two young kids who are kind of like leaned over this like small table. And then there's like a, like, you know, like a mother or someone who's sort of like looking on over them. And Alice found this like Disney artist who goes through and like licenses these old paintings that aren't necessarily like, you know, museum paintings or something, but they are real historic paintings. And what she does is she goes through and she adds like adornments to them. So she's taken this old oil painting and turned it into like a pin trading picture.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's like you have like the two little like kids who are leaned over the table, and one of them has got like a big mat with like pins all over it, and the other one is like pointing at one of the pins that they like, and then the motherly figure that's like looking over them has got like a lanyard on with like pins going all the way up it.
Nice.
So it's like a very good, I think, juxtaposition of like our, especially our home, which is like 100 years old. Like it feels like we're in kind of like an old school home, but we're sort of like a new school family as far as like the occupants of it, the current residents. And we have this like Disney love, you know, obviously Alice and I got married there and, you know, all the rest and everything. And so we mounted that picture in the middle, and then we've gone through and we started like putting in all of our pins, and we got this cool little like, you know how like at art studios sometimes there's like a little lamp that like shines on the portrait?
Yeah.
So we got like a wall mounted version of that. And it's just like a little battery operated one that we, you know, we're gonna have to charge periodically, and you can turn it on for like an hour at a time and stuff.
Oh,
like
nice.
That.
But, very cool.
But honestly, I was like, man, Jay had this whole thing. Like his vision for it is like, you're really like a little trendsetter over there.
Thank you with
your A-pop and your pin boards.
You know, doing what I can, you know.
So, well, I'll have to post a picture of it to Instagram or Patreon or something like that. But I'm just like, you know, it's like I'm smiling every single time I walk past it.
Yeah. So you got like a big bulletin board thing.
I've got a big frame. Bulletin board. Yeah. Here, I'm going to show it to you so people can, because I haven't shown you a picture of it yet.
No, I have not. I haven't seen it.
So you can get, everybody can hear Jay's live react to the,
oh my gosh, it looks, yours is, that looks so good.
You like it?
Like, yeah, I really like it. You've got like so much room on the side of it for more pins.
Oop, here we go. So this is like what it looks like from looking up the stairs.
Man, that is super good. I see you went for the gold frame.
Gold frame. Yep. Yeah, the little light above is gold. And
yep.
Then it's kind of like an antique frame that Alice found at Goodwill that we have the print that we bought inside of. And you really can't see it that way. It honestly just looks like an antique print up close. But when you look at the specific image of it, there's like pins everywhere and stuff. And
right. You haven't put pins on it yet.
I do. I took a picture of it and then I put all my pins on, and I haven't taken a picture of it with the pins on.
Okay.
So maybe I'll take an updated picture that I can post like to Patreon or something so that people can see it.
So do the pins have like their own, like does each theme have like its own section on the board?
So I've got like my Disney princess corner, or like sort of Jack Skellington Nightmare Before Christmas corner, and then we've kind of got like you know, there's like some collectible D23 pins that I had a lot of fun chasing down. I've got like a little row of those, and then we've got like our specialty like experience corner. So like we went like on the like the Disney Wish cruise, and we bought like a nice kind of like big chunky pin from that one. And then our last trip to Disney, we did this like cool, like you go and do like a cake decorating experience, and you make like one of these like really shiny like dome cakes that has like the Mickey ears coming out of it, and it kind of looks like the classic like Mickey Mouse hat.
Yeah.
And when you go and you do that at Amorette's, they give you like a pin that you can only get if you go and do the cake decorating
experience. Yeah.
You know, so we got that one, we got the wedding one. You know, so we were kind of like, okay, oh, I got one from like me and your trip to Tokyo.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, okay, inside of like our Disney stuff, I've kind of like a little corner there for like the like really unique, the Halcyon
Halcyon Pin.
That was in the now, what is the word I'm looking for?
Defunct.
Defunct, yeah. Yeah. That was like the Star Wars inspired hotel, you know, experience that you could go and do where it's like all fully interactive and role playing. But we got the opportunity to go and do that. I should probably get like a Ratatouille one because we did like the, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Tron. That'd be good. Tron. Got to get a Tron pin. Yeah. I know. Didn't know back then.
We didn't know.
Missing
yeah.
out on.
I know.
Jeez.
So anyway, but no, it's really cool. And, you know, obviously, like, I feel like Disney has just become such like a big part of like our family's culture and stuff like
yeah.
that. So I think I'm going to make a whole mixed media board. Not board, but like display. That's what the gallery wall is going to become. So I thought we'd get like, you know, frame and print, like, you know, some of our wedding photos. And one of my friend's moms gave me like, do you remember when we were kids and we went to Disney? There was like the gift certificates back then. They weren't like the cards like they are now, like a gift card. They were like Disney bucks.
Disney bucks, yeah.
Yeah, and they would have like a $1 and like a $5 and a
$10. Yes, I do.
And so she gave me like a stack of like Mickey Mouse $1 like gift certificates.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so I'm gonna like put one of those in like a little shadow box and, you know, put it
I do there. Remember the Disney bucks. I think I've seen a video about them, how like they used them forever but they like got phased out for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean I guess it makes sense as like the magic bands came about and became so prominent and it's so easy to like check out, you know, all things digitally, and I think you can link it and stuff like that. So it makes perfect sense they don't have any more. But in the meantime, the old ones, if you even were to just go buy some on eBay, are just very pretty looking. Like,
right.
They're like works of art, you know, on their own.
Cool.
And now maybe like, you know, there's like the Disney artist that I've always wanted to get like a painting from.
Yeah.
That I'm almost certain will never do, but it's Will Gay.
Will Gay.
Has this like very specific style. It's like kind of like cartoony looking, but like nice, bright, bold colors. And he always signs it with like a really like kind of almost like a real life human, like Comic Sans WG in the corner. And somebody actually on tour got me like a Will Gay Star Wars t-shirt.
Yes, they
like,
did.
I was like, this is so cool.
Right?
Like, I mean, I got home and I was like, Allie, look.
Okay,
like,
look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been really fun. So maybe I can buy a reprint of one of his
know.
Works.
They're all they're so expensive. That's the problem. They always get them and then you're like, it's just a little bit more expensive than I was thinking.
Well, and I don't mean to diminish the extreme quality of an original one of one,
right,
you know, painting, which is of course, you know, like it should be worth, you know, like artists are doing great work. Like it should be worth something, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm in the tax bracket to buy it.
I know. Yeah.
But that's okay. So we'll find our way around that one somehow, someday. But yeah. I have a nice, great big piece of wall is the real point. So I'm excited to go through and try to find like neat little, I really want everything to be like different is the key thing.
Right. Okay.
You know, try to like find like different little pieces that all, you know, can kind of fill it in top to bottom.
Right. Yeah. Have like a big sort of like maximalist wall. Just Disney things.
Just the one wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives me a place to put it because that's the other thing too, is I've always been bad at like wearing my interests on my sleeves, or in this case on my walls.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I know what you mean. It's like hard, like when you get older, cause it's like, you know, we go to Disney a lot and we have a lot of Disney stuff, but it's like, do you display it or is like, you know, like how do you like, yeah, how do you put it on display, or do you, is it like too, like, I don't know, like not adult enough? I don't know. That sounds like such a dumb way to say it.
I know, but I mean, that's the thing, is that it's like, I think a lot of times, so like sometimes this is like where I almost wish I could like jump into the mind of people who know me well so that they can like sometimes I'm like, I'm almost like, I wonder if people just want to like shake me. They're like, Ben, stop overthinking everything.
Right.
Like, you know, like just enjoy what you enjoy. And I've given this example before, but I got to hang out with him over the weekend, so it's top of mind. But our, you know, trainer Gabriel, you know, like when he got married, I remember he got his wedding band has, what's called knurling around it, which if you've ever been, like, even if you don't lift, if you've ever been near a weightlifting bar at all, the like grip pattern that they machine onto like a weightlifting bar
is almost like a diamond grid pattern, and it just helps you hold what would otherwise be a rather slippery piece of metal.
Right.
And so the knurling is like an homage to the weightlifting stuff that he got. And he, you can actually buy it from like the like weightlifting supply company called Rogue, R-O-G-U-E. They sell like these wedding bands or whatever. And like when I see him wear it, and I know his relationship with exercise and weightlifting and equipment,
yeah,
it's like that is the perfect thing for you,
right?
You know, but like in a way that like I'm like I couldn't get a Disney tattoo, you know, like
right.
Like not that I think there's anything wrong with them, it's like a like I struggle to define myself as like as if anything makes it to the surface where it could be like a characteristic of me.
Right.
You know, like right. that's like the complication.
Right. Like despite like, you know, like sometimes I feel that way about like Harry Potter tattoos or something.
Right. Yeah.
Like we basically run the biggest Harry Potter YouTube channel in the world. And I've read the books a bazillion million times. And it's like, but the idea of getting a Harry Potter tattoo, I'm like, I don't know. Do I really, does that, you know,
have I earned it?
Have I, yeah, right. Like, have I earned, does that really speak to who I am?
And let me say this too. Like, again, when we go on tour, people will come through like our meet and greet line and they'll show us their Harry Potter tattoos. And I am like, I am like, those are awesome.
I know. They always look good.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, like that is so cool. And,
yeah.
You know, it's very funny because I, you know, I got to work, the guy who did my original tattoo, his name is, Balázs Bercsényi, and he is, a Hungarian tattoo artist. And I'm actually getting to go back to work with him again, over this upcoming weekend. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to LA for that. So
yeah.
Should be a good trip. But like, It was really funny the first time that I met him, you know, like the way that the sessions work is that it's almost like you have like a 2 hour therapy session first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a very big, like, tell me everything about you, like take everything inside of your brain and explain all of it. And so like, you know, I'm going through the whole process and I'm trying to explain this deep complexity about my bizarre brain and, you know, my relationship with introspection and depression and anxiety and all the other things that I like, I'm constantly like grappling with or whatever. And,
uh-huh.
I do like a Harry Potter show for a living. Like that's like what I do. And he's like, why don't you have a Harry Potter tattoo? And like, in my mind, I'm like, this is the kind of thing that like, you know, I concocted this from nowhere. Like nobody ever told me to feel this way. Nobody ever said like that this was a thing, but like as if like tattoo artists like don't want to do something like that.
Right.
And he was almost like, you should have a Harry Potter tattoo. Like, why do you not have a Harry Potter tattoo?
Right. You're like, you're talking to like Mr. Tattoo Artist of the Earth.
Yeah. Right.
Like one of the premier tattoo artists. And he's telling you like there's, you should pretty much have one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just sort of like, okay. Well, yeah. So anyway, I don't think I'm getting a Harry Potter tattoo this weekend, just for what it's worth. But that's a whole other thing. Talking, maybe I'm just indecisive. Maybe that's what's going on. Because I am going. I know that much. I have my ticket.
Yeah.
Like I'm flying out there. I already paid for the session. So
right.
That's already happening.
Yeah.
It's like
you decided that much.
I decided that much. I decided that I will come home looking different than I currently do.
Right.
And I do know the design of what this one is. It's not like the tree that I went and got with my first one, where it was like I walked in and was like literally like I don't know. Like I took videos of myself the night before in the hotel room before I went and got my first one that were just me talking to the camera being like, I literally don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
But I will have a tattoo by the day. Like
that could have just as easily been like a dragon or an eagle or a, you know,
a lion,
a lion. Yeah. I think that we knew it wasn't going to be a lion.
We pretty much knew it wasn't going to be a lion because Alice specifically indirectly told me for it to not be a lion.
Right.
Although notably Alice is born on July 31st, and which is Harry's birthday,
right?
And Harry's a Gryffindor,
and she's a Leo,
and she's a Leo,
right?
Yeah. And so I could have killed multiple birds with one stone, but you know, I didn't. But the big thing about this particular trip is I know what I will get. Like I at least I'm going to let him do whatever Balázs does, you know, to make it his. But otherwise, I have that. I just don't know where it's going to go on my body.
Mm.
Like, so there's like a big part of me that's sort of like, I don't know what will change. Like,
right.
You know, like, and I mean, and I've zeroed it in on like three different things, and the three different locations are three different limbs.
Wow.
So it could be on my left arm, my right arm, or my left leg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, so you could end up with, if you get to your left arm, it feels like you're like building a sleeve then.
I know. Someone asked that. She seemed pretty thrilled at the thought of of building out a sleeve. So,
okay.
You know, that was, I was kind of like, oh, that enthusiasm is helpful. But this is the problem. You know, it's also very external.
What do you, yeah.
Who am I?
Who are you? I mean, you're putting it literally on your sleeve, you know.
Should I get the phrase, who am I, Hedwig?
Who am I, Hedwig? Yeah, get that. Who am I, comma, Hedwig, question mark. That's it.
Cross out Hedwig, replace it with Gumpine.
There you go. Who am I, Gumpine?
Right. My very own stuffed owl.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we've gone on for too long. But yeah, so exciting weekend ahead. In fact, as people are hearing this, I will be on the plane on my way to California.
Hopefully. Hopefully it doesn't get canceled.
Yeah.
Given current flight, world.
Yeah. Current flight world.
Current exactly. Flight world. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much as always for tuning in. If you'd like to sign up for that vending machine popcorn tier, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. There's also the Jazzy J and Buzzy B tiers, but they all do functionally the same thing. They just help determine who is going to be the one true host.
Exactly. And
the one true guest.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have cackled like that. That was a little self-absorbed. Anyway, otherwise, if you have any other feedback for the show, you can send it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Through the Gryffindor is hitting the road once again for Through the Griffin Tour this upcoming March, and we are headed to the southwest section of the country this time. We are coming to Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Houston, and Dallas. I am so excited for this tour. As usual, we'll have our VIP tickets in case you want to get to meet me and Ben. We will be doing a J versus Ben before the show, answering questions submitted by you guys. We'll be doing Q&A and of course a live performance of Through the Griffin Door. It is my favorite thing in the world, being out on the road, meeting you guys, interacting with the community. There is seriously nothing like it at all. Tickets are on sale now to every single one of those show dates. If you want more information about dates and times and specific venues, you can head on over to supercarlinbrothers.com/events. Seriously, I cannot wait to see you guys in real life and to be back on the road with the entire crew. All of them will be there. You get to meet the entire SCB crew. Like, it's, I mean, I know we talk about magic, but it is real. This is the real magic of the show. It's not in the books. It's in the people. We'll see you there.